relationships.
We've been speaking with Heidi Byrick of the Southern Poverty Law Center. You can find their work online at splcenter.org. And you can check out Hate in America at investigationdiscovery.com. Heidi Byrick, thank you very much for joining us today on Counterspin.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. FAIR also publishes a newsletter called Extra. For subscription information, you can check out our website. It's fair.org. That's also the place to hear previous episodes of Counterspin or to sign yourself up for our Action Alert Network. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock, and next is Bread and Roses. Stay tuned.
Cable Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church in Portland. The forum will be a public conversation with leading mayoral candidates about social justice issues in our community. The program will be moderated by Israel Bayer of Street Roots, Joanne Hardesty of the NAACP Portland branch, and Jason Renault of the Mental Health Association of Portland. Again, that's the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, Thursday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune into KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th. From midnight to midnight, as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs with a feminist focus, and female DJs playing all kinds of music to celebrate the creativity, variety, and zeal of the women of the world. Again, that's Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to whole food customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbetts Street between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread.
Hello, you're listening to Bread and Roses, a feminist news and public affairs. I'm Mary Postwaite, and today will be Delphine Crescenzo. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice, equity, globally and locally. We strive to change systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun doing it. We always welcome new collective members. No experience necessary. To find out more, contact KBOO Volunteer Coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. So today I want to start out with, last Tuesday, I took a trip to our state's capital. And going back a few months, if you remember, we had some guests on here that were speaking about air quality and how important it was for us to speak up on it. So on Tuesday, Sunday night, I was invited to go, and on Tuesday, I went to the state capitol to talk about our air quality, and I wanted to come in here, and I wanted to tell you, my listeners, what I have found out. First and foremost, we all know about what's going on with the air quality around the glass companies, but what people don't know is that the levels of the heavy metal toxins and emissions in the air are at a record-breaking level. They're like 150 times over the benchmark of arsenic in the air, and I have a whole list here of various chemicals and things that are emitted into the air where we live. But I want to tell you some numbers here that I learned along the way as I'm learning about these air toxins and stuff. I live in North Portland, and this is one of the hot spots. So, we have a lot of diesel pollution out there. And I learned some things about the types of sicknesses that can be caused, different types of cancers and respiratory failure and inflammation in your lungs and a whole host of different sicknesses. But, they did a study or whatever you would call it. And they say that out of 117 schools here in Oregon, they're at the bottom 10% in air quality, meaning that our kids are basically like breathing dirt. They're breathing, what they're breathing is killing them. So, it's pretty serious. And, we're right under New York and California. So if that tells you anything about what kind of air we have, then yeah. So, and the solution to this is actually quite simple. It all has to do with a filter that can stop 90 to 99% of these diesel emissions in the air. And the state of Oregon chooses not to pay the money that it's going to cost for the filters to be retrofitted on the trucks and the big industries. And, I think that's important that my listeners hear that, because especially those of you who live in the North Portland and the Southeast area near the glass companies, it's most important for you because, as many of you know, I've done a lot of activist work for the youth, and I've talked to city council and all of that, and we've had some results. But I fought for a lot of different causes for them, and for me to find out that all of that I was fighting for, just to know that the one thing that everybody in the world is entitled to, with no question, is not free. It's killing us, literally. So, I felt like you guys needed to know that. I have some websites and a little bit of information on it, and that I will tell you guys later on in the afternoon or after the show is over. But, on average, diesel particulates, they'd have to be reduced by like 86% just to be at the ambient benchmark that, is set by the DEQ or EPA. And we're not at that, not even a little bit. So, I don't get why they're not wanting to pay for these filters or whatever. Oregon alone has over 450 deaths a year due to diesel emissions that are put off into the air from various cancers and sicknesses that are caused by those emissions. And, you know, that in itself is more than drunk driving and homicide alone and together. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, that's not okay. So the state spends $2 to $4 billion on healthcare and, you know, covering deaths and sicknesses and whatever is needed for all of that, when they could pay the money it takes to retrofit. I think it's something like maybe $750,000 per unit or truck or whatever it is. But instead, they've chose to take all of the old trucks and whatever things that they use in the industry and buy it from California and from Washington with the dirty filters on there. So now we're a dumping ground for these trucks and stuff that are killing us, and Oregon is not doing anything about it. $2 to $4 billion is a lot of money when you're closing schools and stuff down, and you're closing libraries, and you're taking sports and stuff away from kids, when, you know, you don't have to spend that $2 to $4 billion on something like that when it doesn't have to cost that much. You know, I have a saying, and it life doesn't have to be that complicated. It really doesn't. You know, it's not fair that we as a people have to come together to come to our state representatives and basically, like, I don't want to use the word beg, but we shouldn't have to come and ask you for, you know, clean air. We shouldn't have to ask that we can breathe the same air that you do. That's not fair for us. We have just as much right, and so do our kids. You know, when I went to the state capitol, there was a couple things that I didn't agree with, mainly, you know, and as all of you know, I really don't have any problem with biting my tongue. I say what is on my mind. And, you know, the head of DEQ has stepped down now amongst all of the scandal over the air quality. And in my opinion, I can see why. Because it's his fault. Because they knew this. Now listen to what I'm saying here to my listeners out there. They knew over 10 years ago that these chemicals were being placed into the air from our industry factories and trucks and airplanes and trains and cars. They knew, but they didn't do anything about it. They didn't say anything to the public. They didn't even warn the people that were in the neighborhoods that were being affected, you know, And when I found that out, I just decided that it was time for, you know, it to be put out there, because 10 years is a long time. And I've lived back here in Oregon for 16 years myself. And, you know, I'm getting sicker cold-wise or whatever, just living where I live. And it's not okay with me, you know. Those that know me know that I have a son who has behavioral issues. And that's one of the things that the heavy metal toxins cause. You know, it's one of the sicknesses, and it makes you wonder, you know, is that what's going on with my son? You know, he was born and raised here, so it's not like he's ever been anywhere else. You know, it kind of makes me think. When I went in front of the state representatives, I watched their faces as the people before me went, and I was very disappointed. They weren't paying any attention. Our state representatives, people were on their phones, they were on their computer, they were getting up, they were walking out, they were doing whatever it was that they were doing. Not all of them, but they were. However, you know, I just couldn't have that. I couldn't have them on their phones while I was talking to them, because what I have to say is very important. And so I made them look me in my face, and I told them that I was disgusted with them. And anybody who's seen the news after that, you would have seen me on there and on the newspaper, because I believe that this is something that's not just a North Portland or a Southeast Portland issue. This is something that is all of us. It's not just Portland that has bad air quality. We're just the worst in Oregon. So, you know, I feel like if we all knew all of this information and we could do something with it, we could get it changed. You know, it enrages me. It really does. That I can't wake up in the morning and go outside and take a breath and be happy and know that I woke up that morning and, you know, I'm going to have a good day. Instead, now I know that when I wake up in the morning and go outside, I'm killing myself with every breath that I take. And that's not okay with me. So, you know, I figured that I would start my show off letting you guys know a little bit of that information that I had learned along my way. You know, air is one of the four main things that your body needs to even function or survive. And it's light. You need light to grow, and you need food, and you need water, and you need air. And, you know, we can't eat the food because the air is polluted. So that takes out two of the major things that our bodies need to live. Not only with all the diesel emissions in the air, it's killing the ozone layer. So there goes our world. Really? And why is that? Because our heads of government and our heads of state here in Oregon decided that they would take it upon themselves to figure that they don't care about whatever the issue is. Guess what? Well, I care. I care a lot. And my voice is loud. And you guys heard me. So, absolutely.
Hello, guys. This is Delphine. I wanted to say, Mary, thank you for all this information. But also, I just wanted to rectify one thing you said. It was just not just in the paper. You were on the front page of the Oregonian, in case people missed that piece. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say somebody called, you know, and talked a little bit about the work that they were doing with the school district in order to change the filters and put filters on the buses. Mm-hmm. This gentleman seemed to say that it's a pretty costly process, but also that it breaks down very easily. And so what his suggestion was to actually move away completely from diesel. So that was his suggestion for us moving forward as well.
Absolutely. And that's a very good idea. You know, if there's a way to stop the diesel emissions to even come in the air, then why not do that? It is a costly process, but not compared to all the money that's spent.
Absolutely.
On medicine
and health,
and healthcare and hospice and whatever else that has to go along with that. So, you know, for me, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm just like weird or something, but for me, I feel like the price that it would cost to fix this is so little compared to the long-term effects that it's already had and having on our society. So there, at this point, there's really no, you know, as I call it, excuse, or what they would call it, explanation for what's going on for me. You know, there's not. There's no more excuses. Our government, they need to fix this. You know, they do. Eventually, it's going to affect them too. So, you know, maybe they should catch that before it happens. You know, so anyway, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back. What song are we playing, Dale?
We're going to play Birds, and this is from Alex, one of the artists that we're going to talk with in just a bit.
Absolutely.
Repelling to the bush, seen it all as a kid. Had my own blood turn a back on me. Now I'm numb to this. I smoke a blunt to this. Plus my pop showed no love, made a supplement. No real father figure. Nobody taught us how to be a man. Learned it from the older cats. These till they dumb, then we pass them like a hacky sack. And it made sense, every last word that they uttered. At least my mama always told me, don't forget your rubber. Man, I'm never late for supper like my bread and my butter. At least I had a roof over my head. And
find a bed to rest my sleepy head. At least I had food on the table. At least I had a guardian angel just to keep my family stable, cause we didn't have them pesos. Oh my, when my parents divorced, mom gave life to us four two-step daddies, but she never was.
I see my life in the direction that it's going. Too many darkened days where you know I keep on going. Life's full of lovely moments, so you know I keep on going. I see my life in the direction that it's going. Too many darkened days, but you know I keep on going. Life's full of lovely moments, so you know I keep on going.
Imagine being stressed at a young age. I just wish I could go back to when all I did was play. Confused with the thought of chasing, catching fades. Pray to God, hope these blessings keep on coming my way. To tell the truth, I'm feeling hella right. But some of y'all got me f***ed up like my hairline. I mean, this life ain't always fair, man. You gotta pay your fam, man. You gotta place your share, man. Don't act like you don't care. So now I never take a day off. Smoking trees till I overdose and I can't cough. Or till the extra hours overtime pay off. Or till I'm dead cause them haters wanna act wrong. Let a lot of people down following my dream. They don't ever see, I'm just trying to be me. I let you do you, so let me be me. I know you see it come up and I can't disagree.
I see my life in the direction that it's going. Too many darkened days where you know I keep on going. Life's full of lovely moments, so you know I keep on going. I see my life in the direction that it's going. Too many darkened days, but you know I keep on going. Life's full of lovely moments.
Hello, we are back. So let's move on in the show. I have a couple of guests here. Two members of Stay Cushy. We have Bola and DR.
Hey, what's up, man?
We were just hearing you, yes?
Yeah, that was me.
That song that we just heard was Bola. That's great. So, you know, I wanted to ask you, what brought you into music? What was it that just caught you?
Well, ever since I was a kid, my dad was actually a DJ. Mm-hmm. And he didn't mix like hip hop. It was actually a whole different genre. Mm-hmm. But he was just so into music, and he would take us to record stores, and I was there all day, going through records. And me and my older brother, and I've always liked beats. I first started wanting to be a producer, but never really got into it. I just like hearing music, mainly old school hip hop, like Bone Thugs, Biggie. And then, got a little older when I was in middle school. I started doing like mashups of like electro music. Mm-hmm. I would edit their electro songs and like do my own little thing to them. And then when I got into high school is when I started rapping. I had a friend that had a studio and he was like, "You trying to make a song?" And I was like, "Sure."
Okay. And here you are.
And now I'm here. Yeah.
All right. This, by the way, this is their first debut on the radio.
This is.
So I'm excited to have them here. You know, you were in studio when I was talking just now, before the break. What do you think about what I just said?
About the air? Mm-hmm. I think it's something that it's not thought of every day to people. Air really doesn't mean anything. Why? Because it's so effortless to breathe. You know, our body just automatically does it. And so a lot of people don't think about how amazing that gasp of air is.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, take it for granted.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a problem that people don't look at and don't worry about it. And like you were saying, everything is correct about killing the ozone and stuff like that. All the pollutions that are going into the air, that all affects us.
It does. And it affects
day,
all of us.
Every day.
I'm a big advocate for the youth, you know, as I've talked to you guys before.
Yeah.
And they hold a close place in my heart. And that's why I've started this thing. I don't really know a word to call it here on Kitchen Table Conversations, because I want the younger generation, which for me would be you guys, to have a positive future and know that there are those of us who are your older generation that care and that we believe in you. And what would you tell somebody who, you know, maybe was younger that would look up to you? What would you tell them that was the most important thing that they can do as they're growing up in life?
One thing is definitely actually taking charges in the things that you want to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you got a dream, follow the dream, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because at the end of the day, you can be 30 and wish you could be making music or doing whatever you like, and thinking what if is something that does not sound good. I'd rather be able to say that I tried than to say what if.
What if?
And that's something that me and my friends always talk about, like, that's what we gotta get to it. Whatever it is, if you like helping the environment, get to it and don't hold back, because the more we wait, it's gonna time waits for no man.
Absolutely.
So
where do you see yourself in, let's say, 5 years?
In 5 years? Mm-hmm. In 5 years, I see myself hopefully doing this every week, just coming into radio shows, talking about, you know, what's on my mind.
Right.
And talking about things that actually matter.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, my daughter, she's very musical. I am not so musical. I do have an appreciation for all music. But what kind of music was it that you said your dad did more of, like a different kind of music, a different genre than you do? But what was it when you were younger that you listened to, as far as, oh, I want to go listen to a CD? What would you have played besides? Would you have played?
I think my first album that my dad bought me was The Chronic by Dr. Dre.
Why is that, like, I don't know how many people's first
yeah.
CD?
Yeah, so it's funny because my dad, he listened to hip hop, but my dad doesn't really speak English much. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really fully understand everything, you know? And I remember that me and my brother wanted to buy a CD. He actually got the Life After Death by the Notorious B.I.G. Mm-hmm. So he got that one, and I remember getting the Chronic. And so that's after that, like, that's when I really got into, like, gangster rap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody has gotten to that stage when they get into hip hop, they like that gangster rap.
Absolutely.
And then just being around a lot of different genres. Mm-hmm. Like my dad used to listen to something called Italo Disco. And it's a European. It's Italian.
Okay.
And it's very, very different. So if you were to hear something, you'd be like, okay, but it's what influenced me to be doing what I do now. Even I take that and put it into my hip hop or whatever I'll be working on a certain day, however I'm feeling. I put that all into it. Everything that I've learned from the past.
Right on. So, besides your dad, are there any artists that like spoke to you, kind of got you, and were like, you look at them like you would look at your dad. You know, you look up to them. My daughter is Tupac.
Tupac.
All the way. So.
Yeah, I was definitely a Biggie fan way more than Tupac. Yeah. So when I first started getting into listening to Biggie, he was like, I was so sad when I first discovered him that he was already gone, because I remember crying to my mom one time and telling her that I wish I could have gone to one of his concerts. And it's like, I guess I would say him, but maybe someone a little bit like newer into the game. I don't know. There's so many just people doing so many different things and what they really like. There's so many artists just expressing themselves in so many different ways that you kind of just listen to everything that's going on in the modern day, and you just take a little bit of everything, just soak in a little bit of everything, and then once in a while you have to go back in time and, you know, listen to that old school and get something from there and apply it to the music that we are trying to make now.
Okay, right on. So I lost my concentration there for a second. Sorry, listeners, I was writing. You know, I thought I could multitask, but I don't do that very well. We're going to go to break here in just about a minute and a half. Why don't you go out with your segment with some words of wisdom for all of us.
Some words of wisdom?
Yes.
Follow your spirit. Keep a positive mind. Always keep God in mind, because a lot of people think that it's all destiny and fate and what happens, but, you know, there's a lot of miracles that happen and people don't understand that, and God's out there looking out for everybody every day. And, you know, science can tell us how, but they can't tell us why.
Right.
So that's something to always, you know, okay. think of.
I didn't look at it like that. Okay, I got it. I got you. So what would you tell to me, my generation, as being the younger generation, what would you tell me that you want me to know for your future?
That, yes, there's a lot of us that are rebellious, but there's a lot of us that have a good head on our shoulders. And not that just because you guys see us as the younger generation and you see a lot of things that we mess up in, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of us still trying to, you know, show that we're not all, you know, ignorant. We're not all, you know, stuck up, you know. We're, mm-hmm. you know, there's some of us that still actually think and had people to tell us things, to guide us. Mm-hmm. From the older, you know?
And you hear that, once again, from the youth, you hear it. It's not that they don't want to hear what you have to say. It's that they want to hear you understand what they have to say to you. We need to understand how they are so that we can do a better job of paving the way for them.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break, and this is DR, Back in the Days.
Take me back to the days when everything was okay. Never really felt pain. Yeah. Take me back to the day. It's your boy DR. This goes out to anybody who can relate, man. Check me out. I hate the fact that I'm a part of a dysfunctional home. Home just doesn't feel like home anymore. I don't know where to go. Always out in the streets, so I hit up the bro. Get some touchies and some fire to roll. Ready to burn, burn really slow. Sit back, I'm just trying to relax. Catch me thinking about the past. Back when everything seemed okay and everyone laughed. Before my brother started to crack, before we started to break. I'm talking back when he always had a big smile on his face. Before my parents stood up and went their own separate ways. I'm talking back in the days. I'm talking back when we did nothing but play. Back when we bonded and did family things. Hardly ever ate together, but I never complained. Always had drink in my cup and food in my plate. Have everything I need. I think I have a mama to thank. Sorry, mom, is it right now? My life is a shame. I promise you I'm trying to change. I know I have what it takes to overcome my mistakes, to overcome all this pain. But it's getting hard to escape. It's getting hard to erase. Something I have to live with for the rest of my days. Thinking back to the days when everything was okay. Back when everyone laughed, never really felt pain. Never thought my life would be this way, but it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Thinking back to the days when everything was okay. Back when everyone laughed, never really felt pain. Never thought my life would be this way, but it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I hate the fact that pain never really ends. Alcohol ruined families that I comprehend. Nothing but tragedies, but didn't do shit to prevent. Nobody to talk to, so when instrumentals I vent. Take me back when I was happy and no need to pretend. I would do anything to be able to live them moments again. Do whatever just to see my family back together. Only way to feel complete, this will be so much better. Feeling empty, thoughts of empty, not my dresser. And running away, I do nothing but stay. I do nothing but pray. Seems like y'all don't hear me, I'm losing my faith. Suicidal thoughts that I realize I'ma be okay. My brother's by my side, I'm no longer afraid. I just gotta accept the fact that he gone and get my mind straight. Cause sitting around doing nothing ain't gonna get me paid. I just gotta do my thing, gotta do my thing. Thinking back to the days when everything was okay. Back when everyone laughed, never really felt pain. Never thought my life would be this way, but it's okay. It's okay. Thinking back to the days when everything was okay. Back when everyone laughed, never really felt pain. Never thought my life would be this way, but it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's your boy DR.
Hello, and we're back. And that was DR, Back in the Days. And we have him here.
How are you guys doing?
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Excited to be here.
Good. I'm glad to have you. You've heard me talking throughout the show. Tell me, you, what was it that you in your lifetime made you want to be a musical artist?
Well, growing up, I've always wanted to be a musical artist, but when I was little, I always wanted to sing in Spanish. That was always my advantage. I always had a voice. But when certain situations happened, like during high school, when I didn't really know how to cope with all the problems, all the negativity that was around me, I just started writing, because in my English class, we just wrote personal narratives a lot. And my teacher told me one time that she really liked my writing. And I decided to write a song for my brother who had passed away. And a lot of people liked it. And a lot of people, they still listen it to this day. It's almost like a year old. And
is that the song I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I really like it.
Thank you.
A lot. Okay, well, do you have any like major motivations, people, somebody in your life that like kind of harbored you and pushed you along, or how was that for you?
It's just everybody in general, the family, everybody in my dysfunctional home, because my home is, I'm going through a lot at home right now. So I do it all for them though, because I wanted to know that no matter what we're going through, there's always going to be better days. And that's what I'm striving for, for happiness.
Absolutely. We're all striving for happiness. Good luck on finding that. No, I'm just playing. So when you were growing up, what kind of music did you like to listen to? Was it
rap?
Rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rap.
Did your family listen to a lot of?
They listen to a lot of Spanish music.
Yeah.
But my brothers growing up, they're the ones that put me onto rap.
Ah. You're so, like, hey.
Yeah. But I also liked R&B a lot too. I was listening to that because I like singing. But like I said before, once you go through certain experiences in life, that's when you want to try new things. And that's when music came along.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, like I was telling your friend, my daughter, she's very musical, but I've never heard her sing, ever. She will not sing in front of me. So I don't, you know, and I am not musical, but I do appreciate music. I grew up listening to the Supremes and things like that, so, you know, because I'm old, but it's okay. Don't tell nobody. What would you tell a child or a young person who wanted to get into music? What would be something that you would tell them to do or think or feel or whatever it may be about music?
The main thing I tell them is to be different, to always stand out, because right now there's a lot of people who want to join like the music, like be artists, you know, they're starting to do a lot of rap. And what I would tell them is to just follow their heart. If they're feeling, if they want to make some motivational music, let them do motivational music. If they want to do, it's whatever their heart tells them to, just to follow their heart. When it comes to music, because that's what I feel like, that's what truly matters. When you mean something.
Yeah, I've always said that I like music that I can understand. I can hear what you're saying. I can understand the words. If I can't understand what you're saying, I can't get it. So, who were your influences? Like any particular artists that influenced you more than the others?
Well, growing up, it's always been Tupac, Biggie, you know, but because my brothers and all that. But recently, I could say J. Cole is one of my biggest inspirations, because I like the way he gives messages in every single song. And that's what I try to do with my music. I try to send out messages.
Right. Yeah. I like that. That's why I like to have you guys here, because I heard the messages in your song. I told you that I especially felt your song because it seemed like it was about me. I really felt a lot of the messages that were in that. Yeah, so I'm going to have to go and let my children hear that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're going to like that. I know. But I have to do it. What do you think about the air?
Air is precious.
It is
like,
precious.
Like my friend Bula was saying, I say we shouldn't be able to take anything for granted. And like how he was saying, this is something, a situation that's really important that we're passing. We're not really paying much attention to it.
No, we're not.
Yeah, and that's, we need to pay attention to it, because we have to be healthy. That's the main.
What do you think about the fact that the state knew?
I think that's
not fair.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's not fair. I feel the same way. Yeah. It kind of sucks, actually, but, you know, hey, whatever. We'll roll with it.
Makes you think a lot.
We'll fix it.
Makes you think a lot.
It does make you think about what else.
Yeah.
They're not telling us.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Great. So, what would you tell, like I asked him, what would you tell me? I've always said that, you know, I tell my children that I'm their greatest defense against the world. And that's because I've lived it, and I keep it real with my kids. So, you know, I've always told them that. What would you tell me as an adult that you want me to know? Because it's your future that we're paving. So, you know, what is it that you see that maybe we need to work on as adults, or to, you know, whatever? As the younger generation, what would you tell me?
I would say that we all have a voice, because I truly believe that sometimes adults don't truly believe what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of listen to it and goes out the other ear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay much attention to you, but they only pay attention when it's too late sometimes, and that's not the good part, because we have to try to avoid as many situations as possible. And I feel like when it comes to adults talking to the youth, I feel like there has to be a certain connection, because. What am I trying to say? What's that word I'm looking for? There has to be a bond, because if there's no bond, there's not going to be...
Right, trust.
Yeah, trust. There you go. Sorry, I'm sorry about that.
I gotcha. Right. Yeah, I raise my kids like that. I, you know, my life was not all that great, but I raised my kids the opposite, or try to anyway. You know, I'm not perfect, but... I have a son, and he's always in trouble when he was younger, and I was always trying to figure out a way, or what is it that I could do, or what is it that, you know, he's lacking or he's missing or whatever that I could do to help him out with just life in general and making it. And I would look at all my friends and all their kids and whatever, and I'm like, dang, you know, I guess it's not that bad. My kids aren't that bad per se, but me being their best defense made me realize that as I'm watching my friends and their kids, and I'm watching your guys' generation grow up, I'm seeing the holes in our, for lack of a better word, parenting, or adult, being an adult to our children. I see the holes in there, and I see that where the room for improvement is, and that's why I do what I do, because I want you guys to be able to get your voices out and be heard. And that's why I asked you what it was that you thought I could do as an adult, or say, or whatever, that would help you guys out as youth in your life, and helping make your life positive in the future. I love your guys' messages. You have very positive music. What I heard, it's positive to me. And so I would really enjoy it if you guys could come back on my show and maybe show us some more, some newer stuff, you know, or we could play your music in my next show. However that works, that would be great. I would love to get your guys' voices out there. That'd be just beautiful.
We truly appreciate it.
Truly appreciate it.
And my listeners, they enjoy... hearing about you guys and what it is that you guys want from us as you grow, because you're our future, and for without sure. you, we won't have anything. So, you know, to everybody out there, again, this is our younger generation, and you hear their music and you hear their message in the music, and they're asking you and they're telling you to listen. You know, it's not hard. Just listen to the message, and you'll get the idea of what they're trying to tell you. You know, we are the pathway for them. And throughout all of the death and destruction that's been going on in the last few years, this is the light. These young men and women that I talk to, they're the light. They're the future, and they're why I do what I do. So I want to thank you guys.
Thank you.
For being on my show and, you know, having a positive message, send
thank
it out
you.
There.
Thank you for having me.
Their manager is also in the in the room here. How are you? Sitting over there all quiet. Yeah, that's great. His name is Caesar. How are you doing? How did you guys meet? Have you been friends for your whole life?
Me and Diego have been friends since probably like 6, 7 maybe. We used to go to the same church.
We still go to the same church.
We still go to the same church. But yeah, we met in church. Yeah.
You guys still go to church?
Yeah. When we got chance, you know? We go to church. When we got the chance. Yeah.
Every other Sunday? That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm personally not a religious person, but I like to hear that our youth are taking an active role in their own spirituality.
Definitely, yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and go to another break. And when we come back, we will have my friend Hennessy the Goon on. Hey. Let's do this. Dell.
Everybody tells me it's about time that I moved on. And I need to learn to lighten up and learn how to be young. But my heart is a valley, it's so shallow and man-made. I'm scared to death if I let you in that you'll see I'm just a fake. Sometimes I feel lonely in the arms of your touch. But I know that's just me, cause nothing ever is enough. When I was a child, I grew up by the River Lee. And there was something in the water, now that something's in me. Oh, I can't go back, but the reeds are growing out of my fingertips. I can't go back to the river, but it's in my tell you now before it's way too late that I never meant to hurt you or to lie straight to your face. Consider this my apology. I know it's years in advance, but I would rather say it now in case I never get the chance. No, I can't go back, but the reeds are growing out of my fingertips. I can't go back.
Adele, the River Lee. I like that song. That's my favorite. She's my favorite artist. So, like I said, we're joined in studio with my friend Hennessy. Are you going to be playing something for us a little later?
Maybe. Okay. Stay tuned and you can find that out.
Absolutely. So, you've heard the conversation going on here. And you know what I've been doing. What do you think about the whole air thing that I've been talking about? Because you live in the same neighborhood I live in.
I find it messed up. Not even just for me, but like I have a nephew with kids all around me. And you know what I'm saying? I feel like this should have been something that should have been spoken on a long time ago when it first happened. Not to the point to where it's way overdue and it's people getting sick and people dying from this.
Absolutely.
Like, I would appreciate to wake up and still see my mom or get the chance to walk outside or see the little kids outside that irritate my soul play.
Every day. I feel you.
I feel like if we stayed in Beverly Hills or Rodeo Drive, we'd be cool right now. But for now, we got to keep coughing and choking with this nasty stuff that they're doing to us.
It's disgusting. Yeah, I like to hear your guys' opinions on that because I want to make sure that everybody's on the same note I am. Anyway, y'all think like me. So anyway, tell me about some of your influences. Who was your biggest influence when you're growing up as far as your music goes?
My biggest influence, MC Light.
Now there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Because not was she only one of the first female pioneers, but like she was different.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't about showing body parts, and she was lyrical. She was rough. You could tell she was from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And another person is actually my inspiration to music is Bob Marley, first and foremost. But like when it comes to like somebody that I'm not gonna say I idolized, but somebody I looked up to that helped me pursue what I want to do now, I would say her. You know,
right on.
And of course, N.W.A.
Imagine that, Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that out there. Straight Outta Compton. You know that movie. Anyway, so Bob Marley. I like him. Tell me, what would you say to somebody young who wanted to be in the music industry?
Take care of your education first. Everything else should fall in place after that.
Thank you. Absolutely. And that's the message I'm trying to get across too, that education is everything. In fact, and you know, I learned something the other day that about that. And all the activist work I do, I heard, you know, education doesn't have to be just in the classroom.
No.
And for some reason, I don't know what it was, but that was like a slap in the face to me. I was like, really? Why is it that I never thought about that? But, you know, that just came into my head. I had to say it. But so, when you were growing up, what kind of music did you listen to? Was it all rap?
No. I ain't even really grow up listening to rap music. Like, my mom was weird, but she listened to everything. Like, I grew up listening to Led Zeppelin, Journey, Queen, Foreigner, Nirvana, Incubus.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. And I can see you listening to that now.
You know, as far as when it comes to lyrics, as in hip hop or rap, I'd say the newest person I would listen to is Kendrick Lamar. Other than that, The Cutoff stops it. Outkast. I'm from Kansas City, so Tech N9ne is one of my favorite rappers.
Yeah, I know somebody who likes him too.
All this new stuff, the whole dreads and sipping on this, rolling up this, it's stupid. Like, it's more to, so in order to be real in this industry nowadays, in order to be real or be heard with your music, you have to make up some gimmicky dance or get tatted everywhere or make some song and make up some word and take it out of context, or, you know what I'm saying, basically defecate on the woman race.
Know,
just to make it. Me, I probably would never go more than local, but I mean, if I did, it'd be cool because I actually have something that needs to be heard.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I like your music. You know, as I told you before, I'm not really into the whole rap genre. I appreciate it, but that's not the type of music I listen to. However, when I heard your song, I was like, okay. I felt it, you know, and it hit me, and I was like, damn, I need to have you on the show.
I think it's my name and my looks that throw you up. You see, like, the 100 tattoos and the dreads, and then, you know, my Hennessy the Goon. Come on now.
Right.
I've progressed over time. If you go back and look up me on YouTube, all you'll hear is cussing. Then I had to open up my eyes and realize I sound like everybody else. Why not come out and say something and have something original to say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I definitely felt what you were saying. All of you guys, I felt your songs and the words that were being spoke, they were real. You know, it's about being real and real life. And that's what I like is, you know, we're live right now. And I just, I like the realness of everything I do and everybody I have on my show. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. No secrets, no hidden agendas or anything like that. So, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, hopefully Donald Trump's not the president, and I'm not shift up somewhere overseas along with all of y'all. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going too. Hopefully, you know, if you got this much, you got all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the definition of a starving artist. Besides music, you know, I'm good with my hands. I'm multifaceted, a jack of all trades. Like, in 5 years, if I don't see me doing something with my music, I want to have my own tattoo shop.
Hmm.
You know?
I see you doing something with your music.
Yeah.
I do. You know, all three of you. You guys are good. So I think that you should keep on that and keep pursuing that. And I don't say that lightly. So, yeah. What would you tell me? Like I asked them, what message would you tell me or the older generation that you want us to know?
Well, not everybody in my generation is a mess up. You know, not everybody is negative. You know, and a lot of the older generation like to look at us like, oh, you're sagging, you're a thug. Oh, you cussed, you're not about to listen to that. You'll never get radio play. You know what I'm saying? Like, people should just be more open-minded. I know from the looks of me and the sound of my music, they'll be like, okay, I could probably picture what she looks like. But when you look at me and you have a conversation with me, you can have an intellectual conversation with me, but I can make music that'll make you dance, that'll make you cry. I can even, you know, get religious with it. But I do it because I love music. I don't do it for anybody else. It's probably why I'm not signed right now, because I've turned down like 6 deals. But I do it because I love it. Mm-hmm. And if I ever was to get, if any of y'all listening that want to sign Hennessy, if I can't write my own lyrics and dress how I want to, y'all not about to Nicki Minaj me.
Wow.
Y'all not.
Okay, now, y'all don't see her, so I'm trying to picture Nicki Minaj.
I couldn't picture my, long story short, listeners, I'm a female rapper that looks like I play basketball for a living.
Wow.
No lipstick here.
No, yeah. No. Anyway. So, you know, we're going to be wrapping up the show here in just a couple minutes. And again, I want to thank you guys for coming out and putting your voice out there, all of you. We're going to be hearing more from hopefully all of you in the future. And, you know, make sure that you guys stay tuned. And, you know, my weekly challenge this week would be, let me see, it would be to listen to some music with your children, their music, not your music, their music, then listen to your music with them. And even though it's different, and the genres, hear what the music is doing, or hear and see what the music does to and for your children. You know, me personally, I don't really like all the cussing and the so let's not make it one of those kinds of songs. But my challenge is to, you know, get in there and dance or sing or whatever it may be with your child, with their particular type of music or song that they wanna hear or listen to. And that'll be it for my listeners. That's what I want you to do. And then I want you to post it on social media or call us and let us know how that worked out for you. And I want to thank all my listeners for coming, and I want to thank you guys for coming, and Caesar, and even though you didn't talk very much, I would like to thank you for coming. And Hennessy, you know, I'd like to thank you. You're my friend.
Yeah.
So,
Hennessy with an I, people. HINNESSY. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, every social media network. I'm there.
And there is there. So, I'm going to say goodnight, and may all of you rest peacefully. We will be closing with Closer to My Dreams by my friend Hennessy Lagoon.
No.
Look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's A and A to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like, thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches. Praying that I make it, yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard. Double temptation in my face, my kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know and still live it up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth or death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change, the end of days is coming up soon. Raised to be a Christian, but was bred to be a goon. Was taught from the streets, but I never learned from school. Now it's time to pay my dues with my head held high. Cause in reality, we all just living to die. So I'm 10 toes down, trying to steer from my demise. Steadily claiming that I'm cool, but you can see it in my eyes. Hey, as time flies, I think I'm learning from my every move. To make it in this life, you gotta sacrifice and lose. That's the truth. If I'm lying, you can stop me now. I'm standing tall, so you can never ever break me down. God got me, you don't. You a lying, he won't. You a fake and he can't. And that's the friend that I want. You non-believers, I don't get it. You say he's a fraud. Yet every time you get in trouble, you say, oh my God. Would you die for everybody to have a clean slate? Or get beaten until we couldn't recognize your face? Now I don't think so. It's time to wake up and look around, because the devil's trying to take us. I know I'm not perfect, but tell me who is. You couldn't judge me if you wanted. Lead the judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the ignorant to listen. God gave me your word, now it's time to do my mission. I don't get it. Is my pigment such a bad thing? Are we in our last days or a bad dream? This world is contribution so confusing and it's complex. We living just to die, so I'm wondering, am I next? Yeah.